today is a Bible study. And before we begin with answering the questions, and we'll answer any question that you have, I will. And let me ask you a question. Okay. What is, in relationship to God and His Word, the greatest sin that people commit?
Unbelief.
No, not unbelief.
Idolatry.
Hold on just a minute here. Okay, anybody? What is the greatest sin? Idolatry? No, but that's up pretty high on the scale. Selfishness? No. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit? That would be after you have the knowledge of the truth. Yes, that would be correct. But before that point, of mankind in general.
Rejection of God?
Rejection of God? No, that's not it, Richard. Now, that's almost right. Preaching gospel the wrong way. Okay? Man's greatest sin is that he feels that he can add to or take away from the Word of God. Okay? Now, especially when you get into talking with people who don't know the Bible and you start explaining things, now we have added in there everybody's opinion. And today, you know, everybody's opinion is equal to everybody else's opinion, see. And so that's why we have so much confusion all around. Okay? So let's ask some questions about God. And then we'll ask the question concerning God. Why men think that they can add to, take away from, and also change the Bible. And we'll do it this way. Who's creator? God. Made everything. Heaven and earth, everything. We all exist today because of what we received. And we continue to exist because of what God gives. And He gives this to all mankind. Okay, because God's no respecter of persons, and God is a God of love. Okay? God is a God of truth. God cannot lie. Let's go to the book of Titus and let's see this for a minute here. And then we will look at the Word of God. Because one of the reasons of book of Titus, now that is right close to the book of Revelation in the original order. And of course, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. So verse 1, book of Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. Now, understand truth, see, because truth is what we are after in everything relating to the Bible, everything relating to our lives, everything relating to what the plan of God is. That is according to godliness. In the hope of eternal life. And of course, everyone wants to live forever. But they want to do it their way. See? Which God, now notice, who can not lie, promised before the ages of time. Okay? God cannot lie. God is a God of truth. His Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Okay? His laws, come back here to Psalm 119, so we can see what it tells us about God's Word. Psalm 119. Now, if you are just new to studying the Bible and confused concerning the laws of God because of Protestant teachings, because you see, here is the great sin of Protestantism. They say that the law has been done away. Well, how would you like it if God did away with the law of gravity? Everything just started flowing off into space. That's only one law, okay? If God is true and cannot lie, why then would men feel as though that they can add their traditions? Now, we'll talk a little about traditions here in just a bit, okay? Let's read the first couple of verses here. Now, Psalm 119 is a very interesting psalm. Now you will notice right above verse 1, there is the Hebrew letter Aleph. Okay? And each one of these sections, all the way through, we have Aleph, then the next section is Beth, the next one is Gimel, the next one is Daleth. Okay? There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So this 119th Psalm is broken down into 22 8-verse sections. Now, this was to be memorized by the singers at the temple. And in Hebrew, every verse begins with Aleph. When you come to Beth, every verse begins with Beth, all the way through. Now, that is what is called or known in the Bible as acrostics, the use of numbers. Now, if God cannot lie and his word is true, and this is part of the word of God, let's read a few verses here, okay? Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, I suggest that a lot of Protestants better read that, because they say if you try and walk in the law of the Lord, you're under a curse. Well, you see, God brought curses for disobedience. He brings blessings for obedience. Just look at it this way. Now, I was talking to Harry Curley down south when I was down there last week, and he came to church with a big metal guard over his thumb, okay, all taped up. And I said, Harry, what'd you do to your thumb? He says, well, I was cutting some wood, and I ran it into the saw. And went down, he pulled it out after it had gone in about a quarter of an inch. Okay, all right. That happened because he was not careful. So when moving steel with teeth meet soft flesh unprotected, guess what it does? Okay, it's a law. Okay, so God, you know. So I told him about the time that when I was hammering and it was doing framing. So I had a framing hammer, you know, and a framing hammer is a real big one. So I'm putting this in and I'm seeing how fast I can go, you know, because I was working with the carpenter and building our home. So he was showing me how to really, you know, put the nail there, pound it in. You get the whole 16-inch nail in 3 hits. Boom. So I was going along and said, well, I better not hit my thumb. Guess what? Boom! An example of a broken law. See? Just a physical law. Okay? Now, notice what it says here. Who walk. Now, that means a way of life. In the law of the Lord. Now, the basic outline of that would then be the Ten Commandments. See? Now, you read the Ten Commandments and ask yourself, is there anything wrong with that? Well, it may bring some correction if you worship other gods, definitely. Might not like that. And if you have idols, that's going to get you upset. And if you take the name of the Lord in vain, that's going to, you know, you say, well, you know, I've got to clean up my mouth. You might agree with that, see. Then the Sabbath, and yeah, but come everywhere. Every Protestant will admit that the Sabbath is the only day the Bible enforces as a day of worship, right? Declared by God, who is true, who cannot lie, who wants to bless us, okay? So what we're going to see in answering some of these questions, part of the problem is people come into the Bible with a fixed notion. And they try and read into the Bible what pleases them. Now, just think all the rest of the way through the Ten Commandments. Take honor father and mother, shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet, all of that. Okay? Think of how the society would be if everyone really did that. Okay? Now think how the world would be if the world did that. See, but too many people are what? Scheming to beat the system. Now, if you want a very interesting education, watch CNBC American Greed. How many have seen that? Oh, that is very interesting. Appeals to human nature. You want something for nothing or very little investment, see? Guess what? That's how everybody loses everything. Now, we'll just jump forward a little bit because when I go down south, I'm going to talk about the economics. Guess what the government has done with the money that we use? Hello? Same thing. It makes Bernie Madoff look like he was just born. All right. Now continue here. You want to be blessed by God? Okay, walk in the law of the Lord. And remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. Did not. And he was the Lord God of the Old Testament who gave the laws. Okay. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. You know, not a Sunday morning God. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm with you. But I can hardly wait to get out of here because I want to go watch the sports. I want to do this. I want to go shopping. Now, think about this. There's also the adversary out there, Satan the devil. Okay? Now, what does he want to do? He wants to convince you because he's the father of liars, see, and there is no truth in him. So he wants to come along and say, I'll bring you a benefit. Oh, how's that? Okay, if you want to know where benefits lead to eventually, just in the physical realm, look at Greece. Okay, in the spiritual realm, a benefit is a mask of allowing for sin. We'll give you a benefit. Everybody goes to church on Sunday, and besides, you got all those sales on Saturday. Now, you sure wouldn't want to miss those, would you? Just think of the benefit that you'd get. And all the sports and all the things, see? Okay, now, this helps us get a perspective, see? Who seek him with the whole heart. Now, how are we to approach God? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and being, love our neighbor as ourselves, love each other as Christ loved us, and even love our enemies. Doesn't sound much like the world, does it, huh? Okay. Now, notice why they are blessed. Verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. If you keep the law, you're not sinning. If you're sinning, you're transgressing the law. It's not quite as evident as hitting your thumb or running your thumb into the saw or falling down the stairs or getting in an automobile wreck. See? All of those. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. So then he laments. Boy, I'm looking at my carnal nature. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. See, because all of this is a matter of choice. Because God gives to everyone. Now, my latest letter, where I cover what it does it mean to be under law. I define that very clearly. Everyone in the whole world is under law. For blessing or cursing. Okay? Now, we have to be trained in the way of God. Only way that can be is if we know the Word of God and if we have the attitude of seeking God. Not just, you know, whenever you're in trouble, oh Lord, remember what happened 9/11? The next day, everybody was in church, synagogues, you know, God bless America. You turn on the radio and here's the song. What is that song? To be an American? Yeah, I'm proud to be an American. And it was on every radio station. You know, the president was out there, you know, all these things. The flags were waving. Well, 3 weeks later, you know, after church attendance bumped way up to record levels, in 3 weeks it was right back to normal. See? Because people have to consistently yield to God in his way. Okay, now, let's cover just a few more verses here, and then we'll look at some defining the law, and then we will take questions, okay? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto the commandments that I like. That I agree with. Okay? All! You might want to circle that. What does all mean? Each and every one, right? Yeah. Okay? I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned. See, so it's a process. It's not a hip pocket God to rescue you in trouble. If you repent, will he forgive you? Yes, he will. But now what are you going to do? See, when I have learned your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Now, verse 9 answers the question, how am I going to get my life squared around? Because you know and I know, and you have done it and I have done it. When you're a teenager growing up, first thing you do is get out and do stuff you know you shouldn't do. Right? Yes. See? I did. I remember one man told me that he was about 12 years old. This was way before teenage because, you know, bound up in the heart of children is foolishness, see? So he wanted to know what would happen because he had a gas can and he took the top off. And he wanted to know what would happen if he dropped a lighted match in it. So luckily, the flame went out. At 30, he looks back and says, thank you, Lord. See? Okay? So we all have things we regret. We all have sins that we have committed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone remembers that. I'm a sinner, but Lord, bless me in my sins is the way everyone wants it, see? But that's not how God is going to deal with us, see? Verse 9, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to straighten out your life? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you, O let me not wander from your commandments. Now, what I want you to do is read and think on each verse as you read it, okay? And this will help you understand why God's laws are good, why we need to keep them. Now, come all the way over here to verse 97. So just turn the page. Verse 97. Oh, how love I your law. Whoa. Wonder if you would hear that in the local Sunday-keeping church. It is my meditation all the day. Why? Because it straightens out your screwy brain. Every one of us. We all need our brain straightened out, don't we? You know, stop and think. Up to this point, what programmed my mind? Well, everything I've done, watched, listened to, have been taught. Bingo. Okay? Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So you want the best education in the world? Start with the Word of God. Very simple. See? But you look at all the religions in the world, you know, and the atheists are, you know, I thought about doing an article entitled, I agree with the atheist 98%. Because what it is, they look at religion and they see that that can't be of God. What good is it going to do to have a rosary with a cross hanging on your rearview mirror as you drive your car? I wonder how many accidents have taken place with that hanging there that didn't protect them. So those are stupid things that people do. Bow down to idols. I mean, you read Isaiah 40. 41, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and that talks about idols, where it says, it doesn't quite put it this way, but oh, isn't man stupid? He makes a god, overlays it with gold and silver, bows down to it and says, save me, but he made it. Or someone who doesn't have enough money, he gets a tree that won't rot, and he carves an idol, and he bows down to it to worship it and says, save me. And with all the scraps left over from the carving, he builds a fire and cooks himself some food. So read Isaiah 40 through 45, all right? Your commandments make me wiser than my enemy, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Wow. Okay. Come over here to verse 142. But you see, isn't it interesting in talking to those who have been Protestants? I asked them the question, well, how can they say that the law is done away, when they can read right here, and I use the example of Psalm 119 and other places, how can they read that? This is, oh, we don't read it. Really? So, oh, yeah, as long as we have Jesus, everything is fine. Nothing else matters. All right. What does that do? That's blinders. You know, what do they tell you whenever you buy a product that you have to assemble or you get a new appliance? First of all, if you have to assemble it, they give the instructions on how to assemble it. And I've done it and you've done it. You look at the picture on the box. You look at the parts that you have. And you ignore the instructions on how to make it. And when you're almost done, you wonder why it doesn't fit. Because you didn't read the instructions. Okay? Now, same way with the Word of God. If they never read it, they don't know what's in it. So that's the same as being blind, isn't it? And the Bible talks about that. People see, but don't understand. They hear, but they don't comprehend. All right? Now, verse 142. Now, think about this in relationship to abolishing the laws of God. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Boy, that tells us a lot, doesn't it? If all the commandments of God are righteousness, which they are, and it says your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, then this tells us nothing has been done away. See? Now, we're going to come to a very important point here in just a little bit. And your law is the truth. So how do you differentiate truth from error? Especially when it comes to the Word of God and religion, you go to the Word of God. All right? Come down here to verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are the truth. So His Word is the truth. His everlasting righteousness is there. Okay? Now come down here to verse 160. Your word is true from the beginning. So going right back to Adam and Eve, okay? And every one of your righteous ordinances endures forever. Okay. Now, let's come to the New Testament. So here's what we can learn from the Old Testament. The Old Testament teaches us, let's come to Matthew 5, and we'll just review this, and then we'll start answering some questions here. Okay. The Old Testament gives us the basic information, and we need every bit of it. Now, write this down because this is fundamental. Okay. If there is to be a change in the laws of God, if there is to be a change in the laws of God, who is the only one that can change it? God. Okay? Because He gave it. When He changes the law, does He eliminate it or replace it with a higher standard? Okay. That's important to understand. Because when people come along and read the Bible and begin interpreting it and they know nothing about the Bible, lo and behold, it's like putting together something that you bought from the hardware store and you don't read the plans. See? It's not going to come out right. Okay. Now come over here to verse 17, Matthew 5. We'll cover just a couple things here. And I'll show you how God raised the standard. Matthew 5, okay. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think. Now, as you study the Bible, it's good to stop and look at what is said. What does it mean, do not think? It means don't let it enter your mind. See? Okay. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And so then the Protestants say, well, when he fulfills it, he's done away with it. Well, the meaning here, in fulfill, there are two meanings, to fill to the full or to complete. So what was it that Jesus did? Because he said he wasn't going to abolish it. So this means he had to fulfill it and complete it. Now, here's a verse very rarely read from a Sunday pulpit. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. All right, see, here's another thing you need to do when you're reading and studying. Ask yourself some basic questions. Okay? Is heaven and earth still here? Now, if you want an interesting Bible study, look up all the places where God brings witness heaven and earth against us. Yes, heaven and earth is still here. Yeah. Until heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Has everything been fulfilled? Now, some things have been fulfilled. But has everything been fulfilled? Well, when you understand the Bible, the answer is definitely no. Okay? Now then, so whatever you study, you need to be devoted to the truth of God. And remember, as Ernest started out, since scriptures do not contradict scriptures, then what is the answer? Well, you need to look for the truth. Now, notice what he says here, verse 19. Therefore, whoever, means anybody, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, now, isn't that the goal, to be in the kingdom of heaven? There you go. Now then, he makes this astounding statement. This is why you need the book, Judaism, a Revelation of Moses, or a Religion of Men, verse 20. For I say to you, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, there is no way that you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now you see, most people cannot comprehend what he's saying here, because they don't realize that the Pharisees were not keeping the laws of God. They had the framework of the Sabbath and holy days and Ten Commandments, but then they did everything else according to their own traditions. So then, how are you going to exceed their righteousness? By doing what God says, because they say and do not. All right, so let's see what he says here concerning murder. Verse 21, you have heard it was said in ancient times, you shall not commit murder. And that's what it should read in the commandment. 6, you shall not murder. Most translations say, you shall not kill. Now, how many here have watched Fox News? Every once in a while, they get a Catholic priest on there because it's mainly financed by Catholics. Okay. So they get on there and they have a discussion of the death penalty. Well, why shouldn't we execute the death penalty on those people who have done things worthy of death? Oh, well, the Ten Commandments say you shall not kill, so therefore we shouldn't execute. That's the presentation by the Catholic priest. See? So people look at that and say, well, that must be right. After all, the priest said it. Okay? Lesson number one. Always check it with the Word of God. See? Don't believe a man. Believe your Bible. Okay? And don't start with difficult scriptures. Start with easy ones. Now, continuing. You shall not commit murder, but whosoever murders shall be subject to judgment. And the judgment was, if you did it with malice, you would give your life. Okay? If it turned out to be manslaughter, you would make compensation. Okay? Now notice the higher standard. See? So right here is an example of elevating the standard. Because now the laws are not those which are just outside of you that you follow, but part of how you think. But I say to you, now what gave him the authority to say that? Because he was the Lord God of the Old Testament, who came into flesh. Everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be subject to judgment. In this case, whose judgment? God's judgment. Well, ever lost your temper? How did that work out? Make friends? Hugs and kisses? Kind, sweet thoughts? No. See? Notice how he raises it even more. Now you have heard it said, whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the judgment of the council. But I say to you, whoever shall say, you fool, shall be subject to the fire of Gehenna. Is that a higher standard or not? Yes, indeed. Now, he doesn't tell you here, but that's the rest of the story of the New Testament, which is this. You must have the Holy Spirit of God within you to give you the strength so that you can keep the commandments of God from within. See? All right, let me give you another example. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That eliminates every man on earth, right?
Yeah. Except Elton John.
Okay, well, in San Francisco, you would have to include some other sexes as well. Okay. Okay. I'll let you think on that. Now, notice, here is the solution. But he doesn't tell you that would be necessary without the Spirit of God. All right, let's read it. So then if your right eye shall cause you to offend, pluck it out and cast it from you. So you can tell all Christian men they've gouged out both their eyes. See, not true. What is he doing? He's giving an impossible statement to make a point to be taught later. See? What he's saying, of yourself, you cannot meet the criteria of the righteousness of God without the Holy Spirit of God. All right? Now, he gives one hint to it compared to the very last verse, verse 48. So you see, this is why. Now, we'll cover just a few of the rules of Bible study before we take a break. Now look at the very last verse. Here's the goal of being a true Christian. Okay? The goal of why God has made us. Verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect. Now what is the standard? Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Isn't that the highest possible standard? Yes. Well, what do you need to do that? The Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of Christ, which is combined into the two parts of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Now, I know we've covered a lot of a lot of things preparatory for this. But for those of you who have the Bible, let's come to Appendix A. Very first appendix we have in the Bible is 14 Rules of Bible Study. Now, I'm not going to go over them except to point out a couple of very important things which we will put into practice when we come back here, okay? Appendix A. This shows there are definite spiritual keys to understanding the Scriptures. It's not like a novel, it's not like a book. You just open it up and start reading it and you understand it. Some things you do, some things you don't. If you want things that are easy to understand and you're not grounded in the Bible, I always recommend start with the book of Proverbs, okay? Because that gives you simple to understand. Right, wrong, righteousness, unrighteousness, good, evil, all comparisons. And this gives you basic structure. Now then, Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those who keep all his commandments have a good understanding. All right. Now, here is the principle we find in the Bible. The Bible is written in such a way that there are precepts upon precepts. You're not going to get it all in one place. Line upon line. A little here, a little there. So then you must put it together. Rightly put it together. Just like the instructions on how to put together this apparatus that you got from the hardware store. So I'm just going to cover a few of the 14 rules of Bible study now. Number one, begin with the Scriptures that are easy to understand, which we did. Number two, let the Bible interpret and prove the Bible. See, because most people come in and say, oh, well, I want to find what I believe in the Bible. Well, chances are you ain't going to find it because it isn't there. Okay? I know when I first thought about studying Bible, that's what I did. I had some harebrained thing in my mind that I thought was really good. So I started looking through the Bible to see if I could find God said so. And that would make me so good because I did something without God's help. See? I did. Honest, I did. I was a bad boy. Okay. Number three, understand the context. Okay? What's before, what's after? Number four, as much as possible, try and understand the Hebrew and Greek. But don't establish doctrine with a Strong's Concordance. Then here are some questions to ask. What does the Scripture clearly say? What does the Scripture not say? To whom was the book written? Who wrote it? Who said it? Then you can go on with the historical background and things like that. Okay, now with that, we'll go ahead and take a break and come back, and we will take questions.